This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Are you all doing? Alhamdulillah, night number 15. And for those who've been following the Taraweeh, that's 300 raka'as. 300 rak'ahs, alhamdulillah, 600 sajidahs. May Allah accept all the acts of ibadat, all the standing and fasting and every harf that you've recited of the Quran, whether you've recited a lot, whether you've recited little. It's not about how much you do, it's the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you were slow to begin the month, no problem. It's how we end the month as well. And remember, the best part of the month is the ending of the month. So if you were a bit slow out of the blocks, then now is the time to get all your energy, that there is no bonus like the last part of Ramadan, and take every night as a potential night for Laylatul Qadr. It's not just the 27th night, it's not only most likely the last 10 nights, but even outside of the last 10 nights, there were times that Laylatul Qadr fell on the 17th night, for example, in Ramadan. So take every night as an important night, and may Allah grant for all of us success and rahmah and all the goodness of it. We also begin with a question. So as happens sometimes, people, we come and we rush to the masjid and we happen to find that the Isha is finished and we haven't performed Isha and the Taraweeh is starting. And now we're confused. Do I make Isha in one corner or do I join the Jama'ah and stand behind them and make an Isha? This is the question. If we maybe three or four, should we make a Jama'ah? And then we have the Imam reciting for Taraweeh, and then we have another second Jama'ah, and then there's a confusion. What is the hukum? What is the ruling on this issue? So Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, who is he? He is that sahabi that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when the fuqaha, all the scholars of fiqh will be called in the day of Qiyamah. Who are the scholars of fiqh? Imam Shafi, Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, these are the four madahib, these are the scholars of fiqh. When they are called in the day of Qiyamah, Mu'adh ibn Jabal is the imam. He is the imam of all the scholars of fiqh. What a great sahabi, died in jihad. So many great blessings of Mu'adh ibn Jabal. Prophet said to him, Ya Mu'adh, the last thing he said to him before, you know, Ya Mu'adh, I love you so much. When you go to Yemen, you're my governor, when you come back, you will find my qabr here, but just know that I love you very, very much. So Mu'adh, it was his habit that he would be, obviously he was a man of knowledge, that he led his tribe in salah, but he wanted to be in jama'ah with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he would make isha'i with the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he would go to his tribe and he would lead them in jama'ah. Point of this is that he was obviously making a nafl isha'i. His farad was with the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and his nafl, he was the imam making a nafl salah, and those behind him were making a farad salah. So this is a very clear indication that you may join the jama'ah. Yes, they are making taraweeh. Yes, it's a nafl salah. The imam is niyah is nafl, but you're making a farad, it's not a problem. It is better if you come to the masjid maybe in a group, and it's between isha'i and taraweeh, and you've got 5 minutes, the salah hasn't started yet, and you make a jama'ah in the corner before taraweeh starts. Okay, but the minute taraweeh starts and you find yourself, recite softly, don't disturb the jama'ah, because there's also a hadith about not having two jama'ahs in one masjid, because this creates animosity, it creates competition, so we shouldn't have that. And if the jama'ah is going, then you stand behind the taraweeh and you make your isha'i, you just get up after 2 rak'ahs and you finish your 4 rak'ahs, and Allah knows best. Alhamdulillah, we continue with Surah Yusuf, and we mentioned that his brothers came, Nabi Yusuf's brothers alayhi salam came, and they were looking for grain. And Nabi Yusuf gave them only 10 camels instead of the 11. And he said, come back again to me, and then I'll give you the full load, but this time you bring your brother with me, your 11th brother, bring him with. And if you don't bring that brother with, then not only won't you get any grain, I don't even want to speak to you after this. Right? Then I don't trust you. I can't trust you guys. So they said, inshallah, we will go back and we'll do our best to persuade our father to give him to us. And also, without them knowing, he returned their merchandise to them. So that when they open their bags and they realize they had their money, they can go again and make a trip and buy a second helping of grain. And so they told their father, oh father, they said, Ya Abana, what more do you want? We've got our money. You can see the Aziz of Egypt is a good man. He's given us extra grain. He's treated us very well. Let us go a second trip and let us take our brother Binyamin with. So this is where we end of yesterday. The father, Nabi Ya'qub, said, قَالَ لَنْ أُرْسِلَهُ مَعَكُمْ I will never send him with you حَتَّى تُؤْتُونِي مَوْثِقًا مِنَ اللَّهِ لَتَأْتُنَّنِي بِهِ Until you give me by Allah, you swear by Allah, you give me a vow, an oath by Allah, that you will surely bring him back. إِلَّا أَنْ يُخَاطَ بِكُمْ Except if it's basically out of your power, you are overpowered, you know, out of your control. فَلَمَّا آتُوهُ مُوثِقَهُمْ So when they gave their word by Allah, قَالَ Nabi Ya'qub said, Allah ala ma nakul wakil, that Allah now is over this a witness. Allah is the witness of what you have said. So now we talk a little bit about these oaths. And yesterday it was nice when I left the masjid, everyone was singing tallahi, ballahi, billahi, wallahi, right? Alhamdulillah, you all take these things, right? So here in when we say sumba, which means a qasam, a vow, that we use Allah's name, and as you know, we only allowed to swear by the name of Allah. That it is shirk. It is an act of a shirk if you swear, as you find, you know, maybe people will say in the books, on the grave of my mother, or by my father, or by, this is all haram. It's haram. It's shirk. You're not allowed to do this. We can only swear by the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you can use three letters. We said wallahi, which is very common. Wallahi, I did this. Wallahi, I didn't do that. You know, this is what we do. Then you can also say tallahi, and we can say billahi. By Allah, I swear XYZ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in the Quran. It was recited last night. Allah says, لا يؤاخذكم الله باللغو في الأيمانكم ولكن يؤاخذكم بما عقدتم الأيمان فكفارته إطعام عشرة مساكين من أوسط ما تطعمون أهليكم أو كسوتهن أو تخرير رقبة فمن لم يجد فصيام ثلاثة أيام ذلك كفارة أيمانكم إذا خلفتم واحفظوا أيمانكم كذلك يبين الله لكم آياته لعلكم تشكرون. So in Surah Ma'idah, Allah says, if you broke your vow by mistake, you sumbad, and you broke it, then Allah says, Allah will not punish you for what you unintentionally broke your vow. So like the brothers here, they said, by Allah, we swear we'll bring him back, unless it's out of our control. So they didn't break the oath deliberately. Allah says, I won't hold you to account if it's out of your control. But Allah will punish you, he says, for you deliberately, if you broke your vow. And if you broke your vow, so you swore by Allah, I will do this, and you deliberately didn't do it, then what must you do? So you sumbad, and maybe as a child, you took it lightly, so Allah kassam, I'm going to do X, Y, Z, and you know you're not going to do it. What do you do now? So you make tawbah, but there is also a kafara, an expiation. Now what is the expiation? Allah says, then you feed 10 poor people with food that you eat. So prepare 10 meals and feed 10 poor people on a scale that is average with what you and what you feed your family. Or you clothe, you give clothes to 10 poor people, or you free a slave. You can choose, or whichever one is easiest for you, you choose that. And whoever cannot afford, if you can't afford to do any of that, then you need to fast 3 days if you broke a vow. Allah says, this is the expiation for the oaths when you have sworn. And Allah says, and protect your oaths. Meaning, be careful when you use Allah's name. And subhanAllah, it's become too easy for us to say, wallahi, for everything. Whether it's the cricket match, the soccer match, whether it's garbage, wallahi is everything. This is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, protect your oaths. This is not something light or something easy. The hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the one who lets his, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, there are three on whom Allah will not speak to on the day of Qiyamah, nor will He look at them or praise them, and theirs will be a severe punishment. Three types of people who have a very difficult time on the Qiyamah. Of them, the three of them, they are lost and doomed. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, who are they? He said, the one who lets his garment hang below his ankles. And this is a long discussion about in the past, there were those who put their garments below their ankles out of pride. And there was, so for example, imagine you have clothes that is barely covering yourself. And here someone has so much clothes that he actually has like a cape. And he walks and he drags it. So this was a form of kibr, to just make people feel inferior. Yes, of course, today people don't wear their clothes under their ankles out of pride. But if you keep it above your ankles, and that's why we saw our grandparents, our grandfathers before salah, they roll it up above their ankles. Alhamdulillah, this is to follow the sunnah. That even in that little bit, we follow the sunnah. Then of course, the one who reminds others of his favors. Another, so three people. One, who's clothing is below his ankles. It's only for men. Sisters, subhanAllah, it's the opposite. Today, the sisters, their pants is above their ankles, and the men, their clothes, subhanAllah, it's the opposite. Sisters, your clothes must be below your ankles, please. We said Imam Shafi, he saw ankles, and subhanAllah, he lost his iman, subhanAllah. So close those ankles, close those ankles. Then as for the second person is the one who does a favor, and he constantly reminds that person. Remember what I did for you then? When are you going to pay me back? And when you were this, and you remember when you, subhanAllah, then his sadaqah is actually a curse on him. It's actually haram. And the last one is the one who sells his products by means of a false oath. He uses Allah's name as a false, you know, he says, wallahi, this is not made in China. Wallahi, this is, you know, original. Wallahi, only for you. And subhanAllah, he said that to every single person. This is severe. But subhanAllah, look at the punishment. Allah will not look at them, and they are cursed in the day of Qiyamah. The Prophet also says, beware of swearing. Swearing here means taking oaths, sumbaring too much when selling. For if the sale is, obviously if it's haram, then you, if you swear falsely, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not look at you. And if you're selling and it's correct, still the blessing is taken out, the barakah is taken out, because you've used Allah's name as a marketing gimmick. So do not use Allah's name easily. Do not use it. It's a serious matter. And subhanAllah, just on a light note, the Prophet ﷺ was very in tune with his wives. So he says, one of the ways the Prophet ﷺ would swear, he would say, I swear by the one in whose hand my soul is. Whose hand is the Prophet's? In Allah's hand. So I swear by him. So the Prophet says to Aisha, I know when you are mad at me and I know when you are happy with me. So he says, how do you know? How do you know when I'm upset? So he says, when you're happy with me, when Aisha made a summa, she would say, I swear by the Lord of Muhammad. Right? Then he says, I know you're happy with me. But when you're not happy with me, you say, I swear by the Lord of Ibrahim. You don't just want to mention my name. Right? It's only, I swear by the Lord of Ibrahim. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she smiles and says, Ya Rasulullah, it's not a big deal. I just left your name. I didn't leave you. I just left your name out. But this is how the Prophet ﷺ picked up on these finer things. Back to Nabi Ya'qub. So he said, swear by Allah. And so the sons of Ya'qub, as bad as they were in the past, what they did, they knew if you take a vow by Allah, it's a serious matter. And so they swore each one by Allah, we will bring Binyamin back. And then Nabi Ya'qub gives them advice. Now this is something of parental advice. Sometimes our parents give us advice, come back before Maghrib, don't take the into, do this, and we think, you're just old man. Nabi Ya'qub is giving advice to his sons like this. And look what Allah says. وَقَالَ النَّبِيَ يَعْقُوبُ says, يَا بَنِيَّ my sons, لَا تَدْخُلُوا مِن بَابٍ وَاحِدٍ don't all of you enter the city from one gate. Before, in the past, cities had a wall around it, and you had few different entrances. So he says, don't all of you enter together in one gate. وَدَخُلُوا مِن بَابٍ مُتَفَرِّقًا each of you go to different doors. And we'll see why he says it. And then he continues, وَمَا أُغْنِي أَنْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ and I cannot, but I cannot protect you against the decree of Allah in any way. إِنَّ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ that ultimately, the decision is Allah. عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ I put my trust in him. وَعَلَيْهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُتَوَكِّلُونَ that, and those who are reliant, they put their trust in Allah. وَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا Allah says, and so when they entered مِنْ خَيْثُ أَمَرَهُمْ أَبُوهُمْ they entered like Nabi Ya'qub advised them, each one in a different door. مَا كَانَ يُغْنِي عَنْهُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا حَاجَةٌ فِي نَفْسِ يَعْقُوبَ قَضَاهَا this could not stop them for the plan Allah had planned for them, except it was something inside Ya'qub. He felt an intuition and he needed them to do it, so they did that. وَإِنَّهُ Allah says about Nabi Ya'qub, وَإِنَّهُ لَذُو عِلْمٍ لِمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ that he was a person that possessed a lot of knowledge that we gave him. He had intuition. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ but most people don't know. And what is this all about? So Nabi Ya'qub felt that there was a bigger plot at play here. But he knew Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a plan, but he doesn't know what exactly Allah's plan is. But still, we take our precautions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plans, but we take our precautions. Allah gives you the sickness, Allah gives you the job, Allah gives you the money. It's out of your control, but you still tie your camel. So he says, when you go into the city, don't all of you go in together. Why? Number of reasons. You see 10, 11, this is 11 strong young men walking to the city. Even when people see in the road a group of young men coming up, automatically it feels like this is trouble. You will already have suspicion on you. You are foreigners in a foreign land. You are all, and mashallah, it mentions that not only Nabi Yusuf was exceptionally beautiful, but his brothers were also good looking. So you don't want extra attention on you. So he's basically saying, don't draw too much attention on you. And once, like Nabi Yusuf, he says, don't flash your strength. You don't need to let the whole world know about every blessing that Allah has given you. You don't have to put it on Facebook and social media, because this invites hasad upon you. And this invites ill feeling and animosity. Yes, sometimes we're proud and we're happy. Don't share it with the whole world. Just those who have good intentions for us. Because as the Nabi says, hasad is real. The evil eye is real. That just the feeling of that hasad can harm you. So Allah says, Nabi Ya'qub had a deep intuition and he understood that there was something deeper at play. But even though they tied the camel, even though he tried to circumvent the plan of Allah, Allah says, my plan will always come to pass, and this plan, that even though they came in from different doors, the plan of Allah was already in effect. And we'll see inshallah tomorrow what Allah has in store for these brothers. Last night's question, we said in the Quran there are three types of nafses or nufus that are mentioned. Which one is not mentioned? The nafs that is fasting. The nafs that is fasting is not a nafs in the Quran. There is the nafs that is regretful, lawama, the nafs that is mutmainna, contented, and the nafs that is ammaratun bisu, that is encouraging, haram. That is the three nafs. So the fasting nafs, the body is the fasting stomach, not the fasting nafs. Then tonight we said, which is not a letter of vowing, of sumbaring, qasam? Which one is not? Bata wawta. Which one is not a letter of vows? Inshallah, tomorrow we will have our short arwah, and then of course the maharajan. Those who would like to sponsor a pot on the day of Eid, please contribute family 3,000 rand, maybe get together, 10 of you, 300 rand each, feed a poor family on the day of Eid. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.